A priestess is someone that has a soul history of dedicating their life in service to God, in service to the divine, in service to learning and getting closer to God. Society has essentially told priestesses that they don't exist, and we don't really have a place in society until we make one for ourselves. And that requires so much strength, because we have to really own who we are. Your energy when you go into a channeling session is everything. Demonic attachments are real.
Hello, and welcome to the We Are the Medicine podcast. This podcast is a place where we discuss a wide variety of topics, from psychedelics and other plant medicines to sovereignty and spirituality. This is a space where we have raw and vulnerable conversations and explore the mysteries of our universe with the intention of empowering listeners and guiding you to ask the questions that will help you come into a deeper resonance with your truest essence. I'm your host, Serena Rose. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, my beautiful friends, and welcome back to the pod. Today, I am joined by my beautiful friend, Michelle Elizabeth. Michelle is an incredible Magdalene priestess who is unlocking remembrance of lost healing and temple arts. She also helps women heal from toxic relationships and come back home to themselves by activating the sacred union within. She also handcrafts artisan candles and hosts workshops and healing ceremonies throughout the Washington, D.C. area. I am so happy to have Michelle on the podcast because today we are talking about the priestess archetype, which is one that resonates very deeply for me, and we had such a great episode. We are discussing the different kinds of priestesses that have existed all over the world, many of which have been lost, forgotten, or erased, and are now coming back online. So many women are tuning in with this energy and wanting to embody this priestess archetype. And so that is a big part of what we are talking about in this episode today. Michelle tells us the story of a past life regression she experienced where she remembered being a priestess in ancient times and how this experience catapulted her into this journey of activating her inner priestess. She also gives some tips and modalities that women can use to activate this inner priestess within them and the many initiations that women who consider themselves priestesses must go through to embody this higher wisdom. We also discuss the power of rose medicine. Rose is such an important and beautiful plant ally for me, and I believe there's a reason that my middle name is Rose, because we really vibe, me and Rose. And Rose is really connected with the priestess energy, particularly the energy of the Magdalene priestess lineage, which connects all the way back to ancient Egypt, Isis, Atlantis, and Lemuria. We also get into a very important conversation about channeling and how to use your discernment when working with entities and how to protect yourself so you can open your psychic channel in a safe and healthy way. This is such a juicy episode, especially for any woman who feels called to connect with their inner priestess or is already embodying the energy of the priestess or wants to learn more about the priestess archetype. I believe if you felt called to this episode, there's a reason for it. And so I hope that this episode can help you to activate your inner priestess. And without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the We Are the Medicine podcast. Today, I am joined by my beautiful friend, Michelle Elizabeth. Thank you for being here today, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so when we were preparing to record this podcast, we were like, okay, what should we talk about? And Michelle said, I want to discuss being an ancient priestess in a modern day world. And I just got full body chills. Like, it was a full body yes. And so I'm so excited because the priestess archetype is something that I really deeply resonate with. And yeah, I would love to hear your perspective of what is this priestess archetype?
I feel like I kind of need to start like from the beginning to kind of get into like how I even made it to this point of really bring this up and talk about this right now. I feel like it's definitely something that is coming up collectively for a lot of us. And that's like why it's coming up for me individually as well. But my path to really owning myself as a priestess began 10 years ago. And it's been a very like gradual process of remembering and forgetting, I would say. Initially, when I got the download about being a priestess, it came through in a past life regression session. I got really into past life regression hypnotherapy for a while because I had a lot that I needed to work through from past life trauma. And I even became a past life regression hypnotherapist. Like I've done sessions with people and I was doing that for a while. But anyways, so getting into it 10 years ago, I did this regression and I saw myself as a priestess, right? But I didn't know anything about priestesses. And like, all I saw was like this hood, this like red hood that I was wearing. And like, I saw that I was like surrounded by other priestess sisters. And at the time I called myself a temple priestess or like a red priestess because I didn't know like what that lineage was that I was, you know, in. And so I would say a priestess is someone that has a soul history of dedicating their life in service to God, in service to the divine, in service to learning about God and getting closer to God. And, you know, we've spent lifetimes in temples and in like groups, just learning, teaching, downloading. A lot of us have roots in ancient societies like Lemuria and Atlantis. And some of us also are seated with starseed DNA, like myself. I know that I have some Pleiadian DNA. And I think that that's pretty common for priestesses to start to remember whether they're actually from other star systems or they're like integrating DNA from other star systems. It's a really, really, really powerful process of an ancient waking up and remembering. And it's one that can be very overwhelming / lonely at times, because what has been coming up for me in my journey is that society has essentially told priestesses that they don't exist and we don't really have a place in society until we make one for ourselves. And that requires so much strength because we have to really own who we are to do that, you know? And so it's taken me a while. It's taken me 10 years to really be like, this is who I am, and it's badass. And I'm so grateful to have that remembrance and to just feel at home in myself again. Like it's amazing.
It really is like an initiatory process for sure. And the way I see it, like, you know, in ancient history, there were priestesses all over the world, you know, priestesses in ancient Egypt, or like you said, Atlantis and Lemuria, priestesses in like the regions of Britain, like Celtic priestesses, Nordic priestesses, like they were everywhere. And the priestesses were sort of erased in many ways and replaced by the priests of the church, the Catholic and the Protestant churches, who demonized nature-based religions, which I believe, and I think there's a lot of evidence to show that pre-Christianity, there were pagan nature-based religions all over the world. And because Christianity did not understand these practices and they saw the power in them, they wanted to control it and erase it because they wanted to be the power instead of allowing people to activate their own power, which I feel like is a big part of the priestess energy, is just being in your own power and knowing like the magic that you hold within and being able to activate that within others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we were honored as these sacred portals and channels to divine knowledge and information and realms. And we dedicated our lives to being that channel. That's what being a priestess is and was. Like, you know, in ancient times, we were cared for. Like, we actually lived, like, at least the priestesses that I feel I was a part of, which is the Magdalene priestesses. We were connected to sort of like the nobles, in the sense that we, our living was like completely cared for. Like, we didn't have to like work or anything. Like, our life was literally dedicated to study. And so we were able to become these like really pristine, beautiful channels, because that was our, you know, our job. And I'm segueing into that because I think another challenge of being a priestess in a modern, an ancient priestess in a modern world, is we're here on this timeline, and that means we need to also be like in our power financially and in our financial abundance, and really learn how to become a channel for that to flow through us as well. And we have to take care of ourselves to a certain extent, which mm-hmm. is something that we had to do before. So it's like, it can be a really challenging activation for some of us as we get, you know, fully integrated into like the 2024 world. It's not the same as it was when we were living in the temple and teaching and praying. Like, it's different. So that's definitely another like important piece of the waking up in a modern world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something like I've definitely have had moments where I feel like this sense of grief, because, you know, in ancient tribal societies, the priestess or the oracle or the medicine woman was a highly regarded role, and she was taken care of. Or, you know, there were men who were like medicine men and things too, but like, it was a very highly regarded role that you, like you said, you were taken care of. You didn't have to worry about going out and hunting or foraging berries, because your job in the society was to be this portal, this person who has this connection to spirit that other people will come to if they're sick or if they've experienced some sort of trauma. You would be the person who can help them heal that. And now, in this modern society, we are like, we feel these activations happening and we feel this remembrance, but we still have to find a way to acclimate and, like you said, make money and learn how to share our gifts in this world where we are now free to share our gifts. Which, you know, I've really dealt with a lot of like the witch wound things of feeling these like past life remembrances of having to hide my gifts and having to keep them in secrecy because I could be killed. And I think so many women deal with that and struggle with wanting to share their spiritual practices or wanting to share these different perspectives because, you know, just like that fear from these other lifetimes and just even the collective feminine energy of not being able to openly, freely express this energy. But that's the beauty of this time, is you will not be burned at the stake. Exactly.
Yeah, there's so much programmed into our nervous systems that we like kind of came in with. Like, I always say there's three main layers of like healing, right? Healing work, which is the physical body, nervous system, astral body, emotions, thoughts, that's our psychic body. And then our causal body, which is the aura that like we carry from life to life. It's like the memories of our soul. It's our Akashic body. And so in our Akashic body, like we have these traumas. And so they're stored in that part of our aura. When we're born, we're still carrying those traumas. And they can impact our nervous system, our physical body. And so what happens is, like, you know, we want to share, like, but there's this fear of being seen, and it causes us to kind of clam up and like not fully expand. And so there's like this, every time we expand, there's a contraction with that, you know, expansion and contraction. And so learning how to really allow ourselves to expand into our highest potential and our fullest expression, such a powerful process, mm-hmm. especially for those of us that were tortured and, you know, went through these really dark and twisted, which is common for priestesses actually to have memories of being, you know, abused and tortured and all of this. And yeah, that's actually something that I struggle with and that I saw when I was doing the past life regression stuff is like, I started having some of those memories come online and really working through those. And another thing I actually want to touch on is sometimes when as priestesses wake up, they go through like a little bit of a psychosis, I would say. Like there's like a really difficult integration of some of this higher knowledge that they have, and it can come through really abruptly and really strongly, especially if people are, you know, abusing substances or just like living a lifestyle that's like really wild, which a lot of priestesses do at some point. Like we can be party girls because we're seeking something. There's something deep, deep, deep in us. And like, it's just, I can't even talk about it. The wound is like so massive, especially when you're younger and you don't even know that this is what's coming through for you. But, cause I didn't really realize that I was a priestess until I was 25. And so, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I was partying a lot and I was, you know, doing a lot of stuff. And so, yeah, when I came online as a priestess, I did go through a period of what I would call psychosis for 6 months to 8 months, pretty heavily, to the point where I decided to go live in an ashram in India for 2 months straight, because I was like, I need to ground myself. I need to center my energy. I need to be around people that understand what I'm going through and aren't going to like just put me on drugs. Because I knew if I went to a doctor in the States that they were just going to medicate me. And I knew that what I was going through was a spiritual awakening and a spiritual Kundalini awakening, because I looked it up. I was like, oh, this is what I'm going through. So yeah, I think that that is definitely something to just talk about and bring up, because I've seen other sisters go through it, and it can be really hard and scary to watch someone go through that psychic crisis point. But most priestesses are able to ground back in and you know, get it together and move forward and flow forward, especially, and this is another thing I want to say, when we have other people around us that can reflect back to us who we really are, and we're around other priestesses, or we have other priestesses in our network, so important, the most important thing, that we can see ourselves, because we can see ourselves through the reflection of these people. And that helps us feel more sane and like we do exist. Because again, it's really this like, am I real? I'm like gaslighting myself. Like, am I a priestess? Like in the beginning, you know, that's how it felt. Cause it's like, everyone's telling me that like, this is crazy, or like, this isn't a thing, but it's
right.
As soon as you have people around you that can be like, yes, girl, own it.
Right. I feel like in a lot of ways, it's a result of our society not being acclimated or acknowledging the spiritual nature of life. It's just a reflection of the desecration of the feminine in a lot of ways, right? Because the masculine is like in the material world, and there's been this prioritization of the masculine, and the only men are priests in the church and things like this. So I feel like our modern society doesn't know how to deal with spiritual things, you know, like when people are dealing with psychosis or things like that, or even schizophrenia. Like, we don't know how to navigate the spiritual realm because we've just completely denied that it exists altogether, and we're like, science is all that's real, you know. And that can make it really hard to, when you're getting all these spiritual downloads and having these remembrances and activations. And I think it's important to have, like you said, people around you who can validate what's happening and who can help you to integrate this knowledge and these experiences.
Absolutely. And I think that the circle that we're both a part of, that has helped me so much. Like, I feel like even in the last 6 months, I've made so much incredible progress in really owning myself, just because I finally am around other sisters that really get it. And the other thing that's helped me a lot, and I wanted to talk about this, and I actually have my altar behind me, the you know, this is my main altar. I have several altars in my house, but this is my main altar that is in my living room. And I like to keep fresh roses on it. And I like to come and sit and pray at my altar daily. And even if it's just some days it's longer, right? Like some days it's just a moment. I light a candle, I have an intention. But I pray daily, and prayer every day has changed my life. It has transformed. That is what the priestess is about. Like, we love prayer. We love devotion, you know? And so I think if you're an ancient priestess waking up in a modern world, one of the very first things that you can do for yourself is to create a space in your home to pray often, daily, as often as possible. Maybe, you know, as often as you think about it in the beginning, but really building that habit of prayer is a really, really, really good first step in owning who you are, and like just bringing so much peace and beauty and transformation into your life as well. Like, I can't even like explain how powerful prayer is, honestly.
Yeah, prayer, and like prayer is something that I feel like I've had to work on my relationship with it, because I for so long associated prayer with like going to church and like, you know, reciting these Christian prayers, which actually Christian prayers are very powerful in many ways because they have a lot of like charged energy. But I think that I've had to in some ways heal my relationship with prayer and just the concept of prayer, because it's really just speaking with the divine, asking for guidance, you know, praying for you, setting intentions. And it doesn't, I feel like the way I grew up learning about prayer when it comes to like church and things like that, it kind of distorted my perception of what prayer really is.
Totally. For me, and this doesn't happen every day, by the way, like I'll try and set an intention or give a gratitude or something daily. But for me, there are moments where the channel is just open and the channel is strong, and all of a sudden this beautiful prayer pours out of me, just so heartfelt. And that might happen 2 or 3 times a month, where it's just like amazing, incredible. And it might even pour through in a poem or in a song that's created or something like this as well. Doesn't always happen at the altar, but sometimes it does. And sometimes it even happens in the bathtub. Really, all that it is just kind of closing your eyes and just speaking with whatever is on your heart. And that becomes a prayer, you know? Usually, like, if there's anything that I'm wanting to resolve, I might talk that out. And then that usually turns into like, thank you for the things that I do have. And then like calling in what I want. And then sometimes, of course, like we want to incorporate blessings for others. And, but that's really kind of the structure of the flow of how it normally happens. Sometimes we're so frustrated. And in those moments of frustration, we're just like, blah, and we just like talk out loud. And then all of a sudden it becomes a prayer. That's like a great way for me to move through really frustrating points as well. So,
And I feel like that's a big part of what has brought me back. I was like, even when I wasn't as spiritual as I am now, I would find myself coming to pray in those moments where I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck is going on right now. Like, I need help. For a few years, I actually considered myself atheist. And so I would get to this point where I was like, I don't even know if there is a God or what is going on, but if there is, like, can you help me? Because I need help, you know? And so yeah. I think that, you know, those moments can really bring you back, and learning to incorporate that prayer in your daily life, not just when you're having a hard time, and calling in those things that you desire and, you know, aligning with them and, you know, having these conversations with your guides and your angels is so, so powerful. And it really can change your life. And having a community too, like you said, is really important. The community that we are a part of, and just like my work with the medicine has really, that's been like the big catalyst for me to get back into my prayer.
Same. It's really taught me how to pray. And oh, I could cry. I love it so much. Prayer is so beautiful.
If you're passionate about natural healing like I am, if you like to work with herbs, making herbal concoctions and infusions, and just doing a bunch of witchy goddess shit, but you're looking for somewhere to source high quality herbs in bulk, then look no further than Star West Botanicals. Star West Botanicals is your online supply source for bulk herbs and natural products. They have a wide selection of nearly 3,000 natural products, such as organic bulk herbs, spices, loose leaf teas, essential oils, and aromatherapy supplies. They also have all the tools you need to make your own herbal products, such as tinctures, capsules, body butters, and more. But if you don't feel like making them yourself, Star West Botanicals also has their very own line of herbal products such as herbal tinctures, infused oils, flower waters, and so much more. I love getting my herbs from Star West Botanicals because they really put an emphasis on finding the most high quality products that they can, and I really love making my herbal remedies with their products from their store. So if you're interested in getting some amazing organic herbs, natural supplements, tinctures to support you in your healing journey, you can find them by clicking the link in the show notes and checking out their store. Thank you so much for listening to this ad and supporting this podcast. And now let's get back to the show. You know, just like tuning into the archetype of the priestess, there's also like something that I love about the priestess energy is there's also this very like sensual, like seductress kind of energy that is that totally. Is embodied within the priestess, because the priestess, as I see her, is like she is the woman who is fully tapped in to her spiritual essence, fully connected to the divine and in devotion and in service to the earth and to the collective, and fully integrated with all these different aspects of herself. You know, I think that in our modern society, women's sexuality is in such an interesting place right now because so many women are wanting to embrace their sexuality. And I think that we're kind of in that like pendulum swing where women's sexuality has been repressed for centuries. And now women are like, fuck you, I'm just gonna get naked and shake my ass. And so it's like this process of like the pendulum swings to the other extreme, and we're finding this balance and this way to integrate that aspect of ourselves, because there's so much power in that.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, you know, historically, like from what I can recall and, you know, the regressions that I've done, it was like, yes, we laid with nobles, kings, and warriors. We were spiritual healers and we did know how to utilize our sexual energy for healing. I'm actually in a really interesting place in my life right now where I don't feel super connected to my sexual energy because I just went through a really toxic relationship situation and it really kind of shut down my eros. And I've been celibate now for 6 months or so, 7 months. And I'm just like, it's the first time in my life where I don't feel like super connected to myself sexually. And like, I'm not like out there looking for sex at all. Like I'm really taking all of that energy and all of that time to go inward. And yeah, I'm actually like developing a program called the Inner Temple for healing after toxic relationships and finding inner union within the self. And I know at some point I'll be reintegrating those other aspects of myself and coming back online and all of that work. But I do think that it is a natural part of the path sometimes as well to get into that interesting relationship where we lose our eros. It's so weird to lose your eros. Like it's such an interesting thing. Cause again, like it's not something I've ever experienced before. But yeah, like there are times in my life where I was super connected and I, you know, temple, like temple orgies and like group play and like all of that. Like that's totally a part of being a priestess as well. But like this new period that I'm in where it's like, it's just me here and me and God, like that's like a different, it's different. So I don't know. I think other women can relate and have gone through a similar process. And maybe even at points, it's important to go through a period of celibacy to really just get centered and grounded in our own energy. So,
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that that's also important. You know, it's all beautiful. And I think that is actually really necessary, especially, like I said, in the time that we're in right now, because a lot of women are tuning in with their sexuality, but in maybe like not the healthiest way. And I know that I have in the past, like I had a phase years ago where I was, you know, I was single. I had gotten out of like a traumatic relationship and I was just like, I'm gonna do these men how they do all the women all the time. Like I was using that seductive, like succubus energy and just like kind of using men as like my play toys. And I didn't actually honor their king. You know what I mean? Like, so it was very much like unconscious use of my sexual energy. And something that I realized recently for myself is that the only way I was ever taught to work with my feminine energy was to manipulate men. And because my mom, she was very masculine, like very masculine, but she also had this like seductress, like deep side of her as well. And she, like, I just have these memories of her telling me when I was little, like, oh, if you want your dad or you want this guy to give you something or to give you a cookie or whatever, like, just go bat your eyes at him and, like, you know, be really cute and, like, he'll give you what you want. And so that was, like, the only way that I learned how to have a relationship with my feminine energy. And that was more in, like, what I would say is, like, the dark feminine realm, which isn't necessarily bad. It's just learning how to work with it. So I also went through a period after that of being like celibate and not having any sex. And then I got into a relationship. And that's been a really interesting process because I feel that I went through that too, that period of just like kind of being numb sexually. And like, now I feel like I'm getting to this place of like wanting to awaken that part of me again and integrate that in a healthy way. So it's all beautiful and it's all just a part of the process.
Totally. Totally.
So what would you say are like some practices that can help women today get in tune with their inner priestess?
Yeah, I think really it is about developing inner communication with yourself and really just self-intimacy. You know, if you're somebody that is comfortable with exploring like psychedelics and you have experience with that and that feels good to you, I personally like solo mushroom journeys because I think that they can be really, really beautiful containers for self-intimacy. I like to do solo mushroom journeys once every 3 months or so, usually kind of like intermittently between circles and working with the medicine. So yeah, I love that as an idea. And just, you know, it's really just about developing your relationship with yourself. I think the very first tool that I utilized to start to develop that inner communication was tarot. I started reading tarot cards, and I've been reading them now for 11 years. I used to say 10 years, but now 11 because it's 2024. So yeah, I've been reading them for 11 years now, and tarot is a beautiful tool for communication with yourself, or oracle cards. I just think they can be really powerful. Of course, I do like to practice good spiritual hygiene with psychic tools and work like that. So I think it's important to have like a prayer that you say where you call in like angelic support or whatever you work with as far as your protectors, and also making sure that you're cleansing your cards and, you know, just practicing good spiritual hygiene so that you're calling in good energies to support you in your channeling. But yeah, I love tarot as a tool for going in. I also really love journaling as a tool for going in. I think the key in activating as a priestess is actually in. It's like all in. And then as you go in, you start to reflect outward, you know, it starts to reflect back to you externally. And yeah, I think that just those practices alone would be good. It's also like having an altar space is really a great step in the right direction. Like having a place where you can come and sit and pray, or just even just come and sit and you just feel like reverence.
And I also feel like the connection with nature is such a big one, because I think that the priestess or the medicine woman, whatever archetype resonates with you, like the essence of it is to have this deep connection and communication with the earth, and being able to go out in nature and observe the flowers and the trees and the bees, and to learn from them, because that is what, like, I think has been erased in a lot of ways. I mean, it's coming back and it hasn't been fully erased, but, you know, I think, like I said earlier, people all around the world, like all of our ancestors, I would venture to say, at some point practice some sort of nature-based pagan religion. And the priestesses, the medicine women, are the ones who had this deep connection with nature and knew which herbs would work to heal this ailment, and also had this deep connection with the spirit. You know, it's that balance that's necessary, because our spiritual connection and our connection to our guides and the celestial realms is so important. And also the balance of that connection with the earth and the nature and the plants. And like you said, like the mushrooms or ayahuasca, these different medicines can really help to activate these essences within us and to heal whatever needs to be healed in order to embody this energy in a more powerful way, and have the courage to share it and speak it, because what this world needs now is more priestesses. Like, we need the priestesses. We need the women in their power. We need to return the priestess to her rightful place upon the throne, you know?
Absolutely. And I do want to mention rose specifically, as we're talking about nature and plants. Rose is such a powerful ally for tuning into your priestess, just really owning your priestessness. I started working with rose after my breakup last fall. I was drinking rose tea daily already, and then getting into our community where rose is such a powerful ally and guide there. And rose really was a gateway for me to recognizing and realizing the specific lineage of priestesses that I feel connected to, which is the Magdalene Isis priestesses. And like I mentioned earlier, I also have always felt connected to the Pleiadians. Like, I've been channeling them intermittently for the last decade or so. And they're also ironically connected to the rose, which is and Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary. And so it's kind of just like all tying together now, but I'm like, it's so beautiful when like all the pieces start to like make sense in the story. But yeah, the blue rose is a rose that, especially in the Pleiadian teachings, as well as bringing in Mary Magdalene energy, the blue rose is one that you can work with, like in visualization practices. There's a workbook called the Pleiadian workbook, and there's also like a Pleiadian tantric workbook where they have a lot of visualization practices that you can really get into that involve the blue rose. And just having roses present on my altar, like I have roses all over my house, like pictures of roses, and just like, oh, rose. I highly recommend working with her as a way to deepen.
Rose, how could we forget her? I feel like Rose is, she's the ultimate priestess. And what I love about Rose is that for me, she embodies all aspects of the feminine. Like she embodies the light feminine, the cute, like dainty, beautiful aspect of the feminine, and she also embodies like the darker aspects of the feminine rage. She's this beautiful, fragrant, soft flower, but she also has these thorns, and she's like, don't fuck with me, okay? She's like, sacred boundaries. I will hurt you if I have to.
Yeah, and she teaches us that too. Like, and she's such a powerful ally for healing grief and for healing heartbreak because she helps us to keep ourselves open to feel the pain of the experience, but also to protect ourselves from moving into a similar experience again. Or it's like she's such a soft, gentle teacher. Like she reminds me of a grandmother, like a grandmother's wisdom. So she's soft and she's gentle, but she's fierce. And she'll deliver the message to you in like a really like gentle way, but it'll be a really strong message. So love her for any kind of heartbreak or heart pain or even opening the heart in general, which the heart is the portal to higher communication. If we're going to be meeting with our guides and source, and we have to do so from our heart space. So that's the best place to do it from, our heart and our crown chakra. So an open heart is an open channel.
Yeah, she's so powerful for the heart healing, and I really do feel like she just embodies the perfect balance of the softness and the strength of the feminine, and she's just such a powerful teacher. Definitely go and drink you some rose tea. Go get some right now. Put some rose petals in your bath. And I would love for you to share your perspective on this is something that I've kind of been learning more about over the last couple months, or the last 6 months to a year maybe, but I don't feel like I'm fully well versed on it. Is this idea of like the Rose lineage or the Magdalene priestesses, like you were saying, and the connections back to Isis and ancient Egypt and Atlantis. I would love for you to share any knowledge or a deeper understanding that you have on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually brought this book to the video call because I thought maybe this would come up. Initiation by Elizabeth Heisch is a really beautiful, powerful book about a woman's remembrance of being initiated into the Isis lineage of priestesses. And the Isis and Magdalene priestesses are of ancient Egypt. Of course, like we mentioned earlier, there's like many different lineages of priestesses. There's the Nordic priestesses and the Greek and Roman priestesses. And you know, as you come online as a priestess, you may start to remember certain signifying features. I would say like the color of your robe is important if you are ever to you know, be able to regress and start to like notice any jewelry that you're wearing or the colors around you or the scene around you. You might start to be able to piece together exactly where you're from. I know more about the Isis and Magdalene lineage because that's the one that I feel connected to. And I actually read the Magdalene manuscript for the first time probably like 8 or 9 years ago. And so, like I said, it was this process of remembering and forgetting. When I finally came back around to this idea of being connected specifically with the Magdalene lineage, which was only in the last like year, even sooner than that, like 6, 7 months, honestly, where I like really was like, oh my God, like this is where I'm from. This is who I am. And I can own that with like 100% certainty. So know that like your process of actually being able to say like I'm this kind of priestess like might take some time, and also it doesn't necessarily matter in the beginning as you're coming online, and it can just be more helpful at a certain point in your journey to be able to identify where you come from, because then you can start, it feels like home, coming home And you can start to activate and bring online specifics for that particular lineage. So one of the specifics for the Magdalene lineage is that the Magdalene lineage, they work with oils and fragrances a lot in their rituals. And I'm actually a candle maker. I have some of my candles burning in the background. I've been making candles for 10 years. So I actually have a candle business called Fire and Bloom. So the working with the fragrances and working with oils and all of this, like when I found that out about the Magdalene priestesses, I was like, oh my God, especially because one of the memories that I had from my regression was that someone had come to me for an oil that I had made. So I've been making oils and working with scents and fragrances like in many timelines. And there's something about candle making for me that's always felt so ancient. And I really do feel super multidimensional when I do it, because I feel like I'm tuning into all these timelines of self. They work with oils and their rituals. So they have a heart opening ritual where there's oils involved and massage. And then there's the famous like foot oil rituals and baths, which are even spoken about in the Bible a little bit there. But the Magdalene priestesses, they have these like beautiful cleansing rituals where they'll massage the feet.
Like a story in the Bible of like, when Jesus is resurrected or something, like Mary Magdalene comes and like rubs his feet. Heard that recently.
Yeah, actually, you know, and it's funny because like I've been, I was raised Catholic, but I haven't read the Bible in so long. And like, I've been definitely on this path of like more goddess worship than anything else. And even getting into the Christ frequency, I do so through like Sophia and Magdalene. But I have had this like strange urge to like go back and like read the Bible. Like, I just want to like do it again. I don't know. And that's been a really interesting thing for me, because I'm like, whoa, like I have been like in this deep study of goddesses. And like, I even got super into the Vedas and like just studying Hinduism. I think I loved Hinduism because they actually acknowledge goddesses in Hinduism. And I think that's what like drew me to it initially, but I actually have a Hindu goddess tattooed on my arm. I got that in India when I was there.
I love that.
In meditation. So it's Durga. But yeah, so, I don't know, like, it's weird. I feel this like draw to kind of like revisit certain stories and things. And I actually also just downloaded the Anna Grandmother of Jesus story from Audible that I'm going to be listening to. And I've been listening to the Madonna Secret, which is all about like Mary and Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene. So yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just, as far as the lineages go, like, again, that's something that will come to you over time. And it's more important to just like develop your inner communication. And then as you start to get those details and piece those stories together, like, I feel like the resources are going to come to you and like the memories will come to you, and you'll figure out exactly, you know, where you align with the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really love that. And yeah, it's been an interesting journey for me too. 'Cause like I said, for a few years, I considered myself atheist, and I was really just like, I did not like the rules and the restriction that Christianity sold to me, you know?
They don't acknowledge the feminine, really. Like, it's the virgin or the whore. It's not, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no integration of like the purpose of the feminine, the importance of the feminine. It's all just like, and it's actually funny, because I think that the teachings have just been distorted, and they've been overtaken by like these patriarchal structures and these forces that want to control people, you know. It's been used to just control people, which is really sad, because there is a lot of beauty and a lot of wisdom in the origins of Christian mysticism, and especially now that we have like the Gospel of Mary. I don't know if you've heard of, they say it's like the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, that was discovered when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls. I think, I don't remember. It was sometime in the 1900s, like that they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls. And with that, they found the Gospel of Mary, which really dives into a lot of that aspect of like the feminine and all of these things. And it's just so funny. It's like she's been hidden away, and then they made this discovery, and she's like, okay, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to be reintegrated into what we see as Christianity, because there's so many pieces that are missing.
Totally. And Magdalene herself was, you know, sort of miscast in at what I would call traditional, like the stories that have been passed on, like that you might hear that, oh, she was a whore. Like, no, she wasn't. She was a priestess, and she wore a snake bangle because that's what all the priestesses wore, because they were priestesses of Isis, which worked with the serpentine power. But she wasn't a whore. She was a priestess. And that's like a common thing that is talked about or that people say about her. And just like, there's a lot of misinformation going on about Magdalene specifically from the Bible. And I think that the Magdalene manuscript is a really great resource for people that want like truth about her.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And it's just so funny how it's like the church has demonized so many things, like anything that can just connect you to yourself and your own power and your own sovereignty, that's totally evil and that's demonic. And it's like, totally. I don't know about that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know about what's wrong with lighting a candle and like, say, like putting some oils on yourself. And it's just so funny, like my partner's family is really Catholic, actually, and it's funny because they're coming to visit next week, and the last time they came to visit, I hid all of my spiritual stuff. Like, I hid all of my crystals in like random corners of my house. Like, and now I have a different setup where I have a bigger altar, and it's like, it's a whole thing, and I'm like, I'm not taking down my altar this time. Like, I don't care if you see my crystals and my tarot cards. Like, it's actually, the more you go into it, it's like really crazy to think that like working with herbs or like natural things like is evil somehow. They like, there's been this, or even working with plant medicine, like there's just this energy that's been projected onto us, like that's bad, that's evil, that's demonic, that those are drugs, like any, but really, it's not though. It's just me connecting to the God within myself, and I don't need to go to a priest to get that connection to God. And that's really all that it ever was, is the priests and the church wanting to have that control and saying, I am your connection to God, and you cannot connect to God without me. And I think that the essence of like this spiritual awakening that's happening, the awakening of the priestesses, is saying, no, I have this connection to God within me right now, and I can go sit at my altar, and I can rub some rose oil on my body, and I can say some prayers and light a candle, and that is sacred too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I also do want to say that demonic attachments are real.
Oh, yes. I don't want to discredit that, because it is real, but it's just the way that they've like made so many things to, like, evil is just crazy.
It's like that story of the boy who called wolf, like, or cried wolf. Like, you're calling all of this stuff demonic that's like actually not, but you're negating like actual like demonic attachments and entity attachments. Like, that's all. And I think that's another, like, let's segue into that, because that is a part of the path of the priestess as well. Mm-hmm. It is recognizing those energies, those attachments that we're carrying, being able to identify them in our field, being able to exercise them out of us. Notice when they're gripping at us. Notice any spirit of, you know, oppression or poverty or lack, or just any spirit that feels like it's like keeping you from your highest expansion, you know, like really questioning those, and when was that spoken upon me? Where is that coming from? And knowing that entity attachments can come through, they can come through sex, they can come through substances, right? If you're not in a container that's like held with integrity, and like that people are doing their spiritual cleansing work, like for example, you're at a festival and you're like tripping balls, like you can essentially like attract something into your field. Like it's possible. So, you know, just being aware of that and noticing when you're not feeling like yourself, when you're feeling really down, or when you've gone through for a period of time, a long time, where you're not feeling like yourself, and questioning that. And I think, again, like it's a normal part of the priestess path to get to this point in the path where you recognize that there's some entity attachment stuff happening, and like learning tools to really clear those from yourself and being able to recognize it in others and help your sisters as well. I think that might be the part of the path where you start to like really honor Christ energy in a new way. And some people, when they have their spiritual awakenings, like you've seen people like go back to Christ, like they like revert back to Christianity. And I think that it's because they're coming to that point in their path where they're actually starting to encounter some of those like realizations around these darker forces. And they're just kind of reverting back to what feels good and true and right for them. And it is true that Christ energy is the strongest frequency to combat any like negativity or any like entity stuff. So like I see like how it happens, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Christ energy is a really beautiful, powerful energy, and you can and should like incorporate it once it feels right for you to do so, if it feels right for you to do so. But I personally think that there is so like, it's a piece of the puzzle. It's not like the entire puzzle, but it is the highest frequency that we have access to dispel any darkness or anything that is like coming into contact with our field that doesn't feel right and true for us. And it is the most beautiful, powerful frequency of truth that we have here. I think it's like essentially the frequency of love, you know, mm-hmm. That's how I kind of process it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I deeply resonate with everything you said. And it's really important to acknowledge that. I think that there is a lot of fear around entities and like demons and all these things, but it's like, nah, this shit is real. I've experienced it myself. I know you have. I know many people that have. And it's actually a lot more common than you think. And the entities can be passed down through your lineage, or like you said, through sex, through relationships, through from your parents, or just different things. And I've noticed that too, a lot of people getting like the New Age to Jesus movement. It's like a whole thing. And I definitely agree. I think it's like the people start to realize like, oh, these entities and things like this is real. But I think it gets a little bit distorted, because I've listened to some of these New Age to Jesus stories, and I can see the perspective of, there are some people in like the spiritual community or the New Age movement who are just like, yeah, I'm like working with the Pleiadians and the Arcturians and the blah, 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 blah. But it's like, they're really not. Like they're really working with some dark shit and they don't even realize it. Like I've seen people who are very well known for working with these like galactic beings, but they're actually kind of like a narcissist. And it's a thing. And I think part of that New Age to Jesus like hype is they start to believe that all the beings that you're working with are evil or bad if it's not Jesus. It's this programming, like if it ain't Jesus, it's bad. You know, Jesus is great. Christ consciousness, Christ energy is like so powerful and so needed. And it's so much deeper than Jesus himself also. But there's also all these other beings and these other deities from Hinduism, or, you know, my ancestry in the Nordic, I'm Norwegian. So like the Norse gods and goddesses, the Celtic gods and goddesses, like there's so many. And it's crazy to say that every being that's not Jesus is evil. And it's like, you just gotta know what you're working with, really. You know, you gotta know where your energy's at, and really like, don't lie to yourself and don't be delusional. And you know what I mean? like, don't say like, oh yeah, I'm channeling the Syrian gods, or this, I'm channeling the Syrians, and really like you're hurting people. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah.
Like your energy when you go into a channeling session is everything. And your ability to protect your energy and have discernment in those spaces. I forget where, but it was somewhere I either read or listened to someone at one point was like it comparing when you're channeling to like when you're walking down the street, like in life, there's people talking to you, like that might, you might hear something as you like walk by, or like some random person on the street might like say something to you. When you go into these channeling spaces, like just because you're channeling it doesn't mean that it's coming from someone higher. Like you should take everything as if it's just a guy on the street talking to you. Like it's not that special. When you go into those places, like you really need to have that discernment. Maybe have like one being that you're like working with intimately, maybe figuring out poof, and it's going to feel in your heart like a very high frequency when you connect with a high frequency energy. You're not going to feel any anxiousness. You're not going to feel fear. You're not going to feel confusion. You're not going to feel any of that. It's just going to feel like warm, loving energy. And if it doesn't feel like that, you don't want to talk to it. It's just a random dude on the street. Like with that dude on the street does matter to you, what they say. Like having discernment in those spaces is super important and definitely something as a priestess that many of us need to learn because we often are channels. So
Yeah, that's so it's so important, like as we're navigating these spiritual realms and wanting to activate these aspects of ourselves, it's so like that's why I think this podcast and spaces for women to learn these things is so important, because we don't have a lot of guidance. There's not a lot of teachers. I mean, there is now, but it's like in the way that society used to be structured, you know, thousands of years ago. It's like you had like the high priestess and you learned from her how to navigate these things. But it's we're now kind of thrown into the water, like just trying to figure it out. And I mean, I had actually like around the time that I first felt the priestess energy like starting to activate within me, I had this friend who was really into channeling, and she started out like we would take mushrooms and she would like channel, and she would, I don't know, it's hard to explain exactly what she did, but she started out and she started saying that she was channeling Mother Mary. And then like the more time went on, it just got really weird, and she would get into this channeling state, but then she would be like mean and aggressive and like talk down to you or put you down, or like she called our friend a bitch, you know, things like this. Like, and then I was like, whoa, I don't think that you're actually doing what you say you're doing, you know what I mean? Like, and it got really delusional because she didn't know what she was doing.
Yeah, and also entity attachments can come through channeling too. Like that's another thing to really be aware of and conscious of. So like know that that's like another pathway for them to come in. You know, it's going to be high frequency. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be nice. It's going to be empowering, not like scary.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. And I think there's a book, I haven't read it all the way through myself. I'm actually going to get into it soon. The book, I think it's called Opening to Channel. I've heard good things about this book, and I think it's a woman, the author. She talks about like these things, like protecting yourself spiritually and how to use your discernment, which I think is really important anytime that you're wanting to open yourself up in that way. Because as I have said, I have seen with my own eyes what can happen when you don't know what you're doing and you're just like, oh, I'm gonna channel. And then before you know it, like you got a demon in you and now you got to go through this whole process. So like, totally. Just be smart.
I do actually want to say, because I've mentioned a couple times that I have channeled the Pleiadians. There's one specific Pleiadian that I tend to work with, and I think it's myself as a Pleiadian. So I just want to like preface that. I think a really safe way to begin a channeling practice is to channel your higher self, to connect with your higher self. Okay. That's how you want to start. You don't even need to call out for any other thing or any other being. Just channel your higher self. Sometimes your higher self is an alien because you're an alien, and that's fine. if that's your case. But it might not appear to you that way. You know, your higher self might just appear as like a light or like a beautiful dress. Like for me, I'm wearing like a robe and stuff. Like, but yeah, I think starting with your higher self, just channeling your higher self. If you want to get into channeling at all, please start there. Do not just talk to whoever comes to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully agree. And I think channeling in many ways is just channeling different aspects of yourself, even if it is a lower entity, oftentimes because like a darker entity can only come to you or enter you if there's something of resonance there, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what is the absolute truth here, but the way I see it in a lot of ways is like channeling really is just channeling other aspects of yourself.
Another book that I'll mention that I think will be relevant is the book How to Read the Akashic Records by Linda Howe for people that are interested in going into the records, which is a part of channeling sometimes too. So I just want to throw that in there because that book is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, you know, like we said, use your discernment as you're going into these practices, because it is such a powerful, beautiful thing and beautiful way to connect to yourself and your guides and these, you know, higher dimensional beings. And we just want you to be smart and safe and, you know, educate yourself. I really hope that this podcast can help all the women out there who are listening to activate their inner priestess and to connect to this archetype within yourself and to, you know, anchor that in and to remain humble in that, because there's, you know, there can be a lot of spiritual ego with some people. They'd be like, oh, I'm a priestess now and I'm so much better than you because of that. But it's like, no. So yeah, I really hope that this could help activate something in anyone who's listening. And I'm also reading a book right now, well, listening to a book by Dolores Cannon called Horns of the Goddess, which, so it's very interesting that we record the timing of this podcast. It's called Horns of the Goddess, and Dolores Cannon was, for those who don't know, she was a hypnosis practitioner, and she's the one who developed the QHHT hypnosis technique. And so her books are really just different channeled sessions of people that she's done past life regressions and things on. And this whole book, Horns of the Goddess, is about like basically priestesses, from what I understand so far. Like, it's pretty much about different priestess lineages and like this archetype of the feminine that has been lost in many ways. And that, let me not say that's been lost, it was lost, but we find it again. So if anyone's interested in listening to that, I'm really liking it so far. But thank you all so much for listening to this episode. And thank you so much, Michelle, for being here. I have had such a great time recording this episode with you.
Thank you for inviting me.
And if you are looking to step up your priestess game, go buy Michelle's candles, okay? She's a candle magician.
I have my candle page, which is Fire and Bloom. And then I also have my healing page, which is Heart Medicine Path. I'm going to be launching a temple program through Heart Medicine Path. I also have the Way of the Rose tea ceremony, virtual and in person. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. So if you live in the Washington, D.C. area, definitely hit me up because I do a lot of local events. But otherwise, I also do virtual stuff too. So I do have two pages right now, and I'm kind of going through this like existential crisis of like, should I combine them into one page, or like, should I keep two separate things? But for now, they're two separate things, and we'll see how it evolves as I evolve and all of the things. I hope to see you on either of those communities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go check her out. I'll link the pages down in the show notes as well. And yeah, thank you so much. I hope you all have a beautiful rest of your day and stay blessed. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment letting me know how you liked this episode. And if you have topic suggestions for future episodes, feel free to leave them in the comments there. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, it would really help me out if you could leave me a nice review letting me know how you like the podcast so far. Thank you so much and stay blessed.